But I have been constantly trying to find out what is that background material that we need to prepare. And when this project of research came up, this was also in my mind. In selecting the title, The Aim of Life, I was guided by one of the chapters of the Life Divine. The chapter is The Aim of Life and Four Theories of Existence. This is the title of the chapter in the Life Divine. And I tried to make a compilation of background material. So I would say this whole book is only a background material for that one chapter. And that too, not sufficient. Only for that chapter, this particular book can be used as background material. Now, if you count so many chapters of the Life Divine, and if you want to work out background material for each chapter, it will be a huge material. It will be very interesting. Actually, Auroville, I personally believe, has to carry out that task. Background material relevant to every chapter of the Life Divine. In fact, every chapter requires so much of, for example, the very first paragraph of the Life Divine. One requires the entire history of human thought. In one paragraph, Sri Aurobindo has summarized, you have to start with the, Sri Aurobindo starts with the first awakened thought of mankind. And the first formula of wisdom and the development of that thought throughout the history, both East and West, and how Sri Aurobindo says that there have been periods of skepticism, there have been periods of deviation from that aspiration, but mankind coming back again and again, and the modern science, how modern science has changed the scenario so much, and yet he says that we are satiated but not satisfied with all the modern knowledge of science. So if you want to explain what is the meaning of having been satiated but not satisfied, how shall we explain to the students? It requires a lot of material, and then Sri Aurobindo says that we have the promise, the first formula of wisdom promises also to be its last. Now this statement, which is futuristic, promises to be its last, raises many questions. How can you say promises to be last? Even in that statement, in one paragraph, Sri Aurobindo's, there is a statement where he uses the word may and somewhere uses the word is. And from a philosophical point of view, it is very important, a distinction. How much can you philosophically declare something in terms of may, and how much can you declare philosophically in terms of is? Is a statement of certainty. May is a question of speculation and of doubtful validity. And in this very paragraph, at a very significant point, there is a use of the word may and a use of the word is. And if you want to explain to students why this distinction, you require to explain philosophical method of exposition of a truth. And in what way the word may used by Sri Aurobindo is justified, and in what way the word is used in that paragraph is justified. Now, if you can give all this material, and then if the first paragraph is given, it will really come with a freshness to the student, that everything that is said there is so perfect. Now, this is the material required even for the first paragraph of the Life Divine. And then similarly, the first chapter, if you take it up, is quite, although chapter is only 4 or 4.5 pages, but the material required to introduce this first chapter would be so heavy. But that work somewhere has to be done. Life Divine, to my mind, is the epochal book. And the future generations are bound to return to that book again and again. As we today return again and again to Plato, or refer to Aristotle, more than Plato and Aristotle, this particular book will be referred to as we move forward in the history of mankind. And this kind of a need will be always felt as to how shall we introduce the Life Divine to our students. Now, same thing with regard to synthesis of yoga. There is no book comparable to synthesis of yoga in the history of the world. There are many treatises, but this particular book is a very special kind and requires a lot of background material. And same thing can be said about every important book of Sri, like the Veda. To introduce this book itself will require at least 100 lectures just to introduce the book, a really good introduction. And then if you go more and more into detail, it is a very difficult book, very technical book, in fact. It's a book of exegesis, a book of interpretation. And there are laws of interpretation. You cannot simply write a book on interpretation unless you are technically equipped to interpret any text. How do you interpret any text? It requires a tremendous amount of mastery over the subject matter and methods of interpretation, so that when you interpret a thing, from a technical point of view, you follow all the canons of interpretation. In fact, in modern times, the philosophy of interpretation has become a very specialized subject. And lots of books have recently come out as to how you interpret. And if you read Sri Aurobindo's method of interpretation in the whole book, it is such a technically perfect book. As one of the philosophers in India wrote, it's amazing how Sri Aurobindo read that Veda from 1910 to 1914, only 4 years. And when he began to write Secret of the Veda, the mastery of the work of the Veda and the way in which he interprets and gives an exposition of it at a technical level, technically perfect level, is amazing. It's miraculous and magical, in fact.